Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 65. How are y'all doing today? Why am I asking that? You can't answer me. You could be listening to my podcast right now when I, although you could answer me, but I wouldn't hear you because I would be recording. But it's just a thing to say. It's rhetorical. You know, hi, how are you? I don't really care. No, I do care. I care very much how you are. Sunday, another Sunday. I'm generally doing this on Sunday afternoons here in Los Angeles, California. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day. It's in the early to mid-70s. Breezy wind. The wind is kicking up. We're supposed to have a lot of big wind coming today and tomorrow, the next day, supposedly. I don't like wind. I'm not a big fan of wind, okay? I don't mind a little bit of wind, but I don't like it when it's like that crazy 80-mile-an-hour wind, you know, where it knocks out electricity and branches come off trees and trees break and, you know, all the pollen and stuff gets stirred up and then your allergies kick in. I never had allergies till I came out to Los Angeles. I grew up in New Jersey, man, and we weren't exactly the most, the cleanest air in the world, right? I mean, I grew up across the street from the Passaic River at the time, and probably still holds true, in the top 10 of the most polluted rivers, if not the world, the country. You know, just... there were stories about, I had older, you know, way older cousins, like my parents' age, that back in the day when they were growing up, and he used to, you know, swim in that river because it was clean then. But then all this industry came in and they said to themselves, how are we going to get rid of all this waste? Let's dump it into the one thing that we need to sustain life, water. How did they come up with that, dumping waste into water? I guess they figured there was a lot of water. The planet was like 70% water. Ah, what the heck? We ruined a little bit of it. We still got water. But no! No, no, no! It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. I don't usually do topical stuff. It's kind of hard not to. We're right as we speak, or as I speak, because we're not speaking, I'm speaking. We're in a situation now where North Korea is threatening... with a nuclear strike. I don't know if it would be on our military targets. I don't think they can actually hit our mainland, although I've heard they could probably hit Hawaii, possibly L.A. That's very comforting. You know, and it's just this fat little entitled, spoiled kid who inherited the leadership of this country. He's got no military experience. He's 28. He wants to prove himself. It's just crazy. Why don't somebody just slap that little fat kid? And I'm not saying this against fat people because, you know, I've got weight issues. But I just don't like you see all the soldiers, that whole country, North Korea, is all military, right? All those soldiers are so brainwashed. They're ready to die for him. They're all thin and gaunt and he's fat. Don't they get it? He's eating more donuts than them. Or something like that. Anyway, there's all this speculation as to what's going to happen. And, you know, I hope we don't have any nuclear strikes. I mean, you know, what's the old saying? Hey, a nuclear strike can really put a damper on your day. And that's another thing. Why'd they come up with this nuclear stuff anyway? They knew. Those scientists, the ones they when they first came up, they went, wait a minute. Oh, no. What have we come up with? Oh, no. We can really blow this place up. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. I guess we will see what happens. One way or the other, we will see what happens. So, this past Monday, almost a week ago, I noticed many people who normally are working during the day were off from work, and I was puzzled. Because it was April 1st, which is April Fool's Day, and I'm not so paranoid that I... thought that the people were taking off to play a practical joke on me. But I was curious. Why are people off? Why are people off from work? And so I asked one of my neighbors, and he told me it was Cesar Chavez Day. And I didn't know that was a holiday. And I guess apparently it's not a national holiday. It's a state holiday. Because Cesar Chavez was, he was the guy with the, I guess it was the 70s, the 60s. Or maybe it was the 80s. He was the guy that was in charge, or the head of the whole migrant workers' rights, because the migrant workers were, you know, basically slave labor. And my understanding is, probably still is. But he was he was the activist. He was the head of trying to make life better for these people. And I do remember that there was something that they were boycotting grapes. I don't know why grapes. Because maybe grapes were really bad, where the people were being treated really bad. And so he's become he was a hero. And so they've given him a state holiday, and people get the day off in certain, I guess, in certain state run agencies. So when I was going to make notes for my podcast in my iPhone, I typed in Cesar Chavez, and my autocorrect took Chavez and made it into Shabbos. Cesar Chavez Day. They made him a Jew. They made him Jewish. I guess because they thought perhaps, does the phone just sense them Jewish? And it's just like, obviously he's not thinking of Cesar Chavez. Let's go with Shabbos. And that's when the autocorrect can be annoying. Sometimes autocorrect is great, right? You know, you want to write the word something, you go S-O-M, and then something comes up, boom, you don't have to even finish it. Just hit the enter key, whatever the heck you enter. But other times you're typing stuff and it's, you know, you have a certain intention to type a certain word and it comes up with a completely different word. But this time I thought it was kind of funny. And I hope that you thought it was amusing yourself. Okay, as you know, if you've been listening to my podcast, and if this is your first time tuning in, then you're about to find out, I'm going to get my left hip replaced in about 2.5 weeks. And so this past week, on Monday, April 1st, this is when I found out it was Cesar Chavez Day, I went to the hospital where I'm having my hip replaced, and I had to go and do a couple of preoperative things. One, I had to donate a 1 unit or a pint of blood for myself, just in case I need it. My blood's on hand. And then I had to go to another department and take a sample blood, and where they do this cross match. They type your blood. They make a type, and I think I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago. They didn't do that last time until the day of surgery. I found out later they did a rush job on my blood type, which is always you don't want to hear the word you don't want to hear the phrase rush job and your own surgery in the same sentence. But it worked out. So. So I went there, and it's an opportunity for me because I have to admit there is some anxiety involved. I've been through this before. It was successful, worked out. I'm quite sure. I am positive. Everything will be fine. But, you know, I still got to go through it, and it's not my, you know, this isn't my idea of fun, going to the hospital for a couple of days, getting surgery and having to do the rehab. And, you know, I'm still not recovered. I had my right hip replaced in September. That's still not completely up to speed. So anyway, I go to my hospital, like I own the freaking place. I go there to do these tasks, and I valet my car because that's the kind of guy I am. I valet my car, and they say it says in the written literature about doing this that they will validate your parking, and I don't expect them to validate the valet, which is like $5, but I am expecting that they will validate the rest of it. Okay. So funny how they're in LA, man. They get you in the parking because there's nowhere to park. You know? Nowhere to freaking park. So So I get there, give my car to a gentleman I don't know. He gives me a ticket. And I trust that he's going to bring it back to me later. Or somebody from that same department will do that. And I show up to the front desk there, and there's this nice lady. And I say, hi, I'm here to do my blood donation for my surgery. And I'm also here to do this cross-match thing, which they call PPTP. And she goes, okay. And then she proceeds to get on her computer, and for the next 10 minutes, her and two other people are just on the computer, staring at the screen, telling me they're having problems with the computer system, asking me questions like, did I make reservations for this? Yes, I did. I'm trying to keep my cool. Thank you for your patience. Oh, that's okay. What am I going to do? Get mad at you because your computer system's down? Oh, that's not what I'm going to do. But I mean, really, don't they know I'm coming? It's just around the corner. Can I just go? And they're just going on and on and on and on. And finally, they send me to the place where I have to go to do some paperwork for both procedures that I'm doing that day. And the paperwork, it's basically, they give you like, you know, nobody could possibly read the stuff that they give you. They just give like, you know, mounds of paper. I mean, you'd have to go and say, can I go lay down and read this for a couple hours? So you just trust, and then what they have you do is they have you sign your name, not on a piece of paper, because, they have you sign it on a computer screen. I don't know how this holds up legally. Like, there's nothing on that. You're basically signing the paper, but it's on a computer screen. I don't know, whatever. I have no idea. I could be signing myself into indentured servitude, for all I know. And if I was... Well, I have to say, I'm probably not going to make a very good indentured servant. That's just my theory. So, okay, we get this done, and the lady I was dealing with was pleasant enough, and then she tells me to go out back to the lobby and go to this other window, and to get my instructions to go to both places I have to go to. And so I go back into the lobby, the waiting area there, and. I'm rambling on here. Am I rambling on? I hope this is interesting for you people. I don't know how funny it is. I'm trying to be funny, okay? About myself in my room. So I go up to this woman, and she's this kind of attractive, petite Filipino woman. And if you know anything about me, I usually get along with the Filipinas. And but this was not the case with this woman. I just walked up to her, and I said, hello. And she was, I'll be right with you. Very irritated. I'll be right with you. I'm not in the mood. And I was like, okay. So, and she had this look of disdain on her face. And she told me to take a seat. She would bring me my instructions. And I hate to say it, but it kind of turned me on. It kind of turned me on a little bit. I guess I like a domineering woman. Only for like a little while, though. Just a little while. Then I got to go back to be an alpha male. I can't sustain it for that long. But I just thought it was kind of funny. She had a big rock on her finger, too. She had already hooked a man. I got a man. I took a man. I said to him, you will be my man. You will bring me, give me a rock on my finger. You are waiting on the lobby, and I will give you instructions after you give me the rock. So then I get my instructions. I go to donate my blood. I have to answer some questions. They take more samples on my blood. They take samples on my blood to see how much iron, blood pressure, blah, blah, blah. And then I get whisked away into the area where you're going to actually donate the blood, which is a kind of a pleasant area with these very loungy kind of chair beds. They're not quite beds. They're not quite chairs. You know, you just kind of relax. It's kind of nice. Kind of nice, you know. I said, you know, boy, gee, I wish I would have brought a cigar. It would have been fun to just kind of kick back and smoke in that place. But they let me know, of course, that the smoke alarms would go off. Like, I didn't know that. Come on, you guys. I'm just joking. So, so I'm sitting there, and it's really odd. You take your, you see your blood going into this little tube. Going through this tube into this, like, pouch. You go, man, that's my life force, man. Don't take too much of it. And so then after they get done taking it, then they want you to kind of chill for a while, maybe 10, 15 minutes or so, because it's a trauma to the body. You could get dizzy, and they bring you... they offer you liquids, and I opted for cranberry juice, which was so delicious. And they brought me a nice cup of cranberry juice, and I just drank it very quickly. And then I asked for another cup, and they brought me another cup. And I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, I got to pee. I'm drinking a lot of liquid. I got to pee, And I said, hey, excuse me, but can I go now? And they said, well, we think you should wait a little while longer, you know. And I said, well, I got to go to the, my next appointment, I got to go to the PPTP. And plus, I got to pee. We got to go to the PPTP because I got to pee. I don't want you to see when I drink my tea. That's why they call me G. So they said, oh, well, okay, so the nurse that took my blood, she said, well, finish your juice because we want your bladder to be as full as possible at this moment. And so I finished my juice and did what I had to do. And I made my way to the BPTP department. I'm asking for instructions how to get there. They say, well, you go up these elevators, the second floor, go past the Starbucks. They got a Starbucks right in the middle of this friggin' hospital. It's just amazing. And it's probably doing bang-up business. It's probably, I would venture to guess, there are thousands upon thousands of people that go past that Starbucks every day. And they say, go past the Starbucks and make a right, make a left. And I go into this area. And I was confused as to why I had to do this because I figured, well, I mean, don't they already have my blood matched from last time? Don't they know them already know my type? I didn't even understand why they couldn't take my type from the blood I already donated. But all right, whatever. They couldn't do that, or they wouldn't do that. And so I go into this PPTP area, and I get taken into the place where they're going to take a sample of blood. And it's a very young, cute girl. And I ask her, why am I doing this again? Don't they already know my blood type? I mean, your blood type can't change, right? She goes, no, your blood type can change, especially if you had a biopsy. And this was like, oh, really? I had a biopsy a few months ago. Everything was fine. But really? That's kind of weird. And I found out, I asked my sister, who's a medical professional. I said, can your blood type change? Do a biopsy, and she started laughing. No. So that girl, I don't know where she got her information, but it's, but she is taking blood samples and says she's giving that kind of information to people. Yeah, your blood type can change. Yeah, I don't know. I've got to go to Starbucks. Probably drinking too much of that Starbucks, making her brain crazy. Making her brain nuts. It's making her brain nuts. All right. Enough of that. I don't know how funny that was. I apologize. I've been having a little bit of eating sugar lately. It's been so hard. I'm not really doing much, and I'm not going to too many places. So I'm kind of trying not to overdo it with the sugar. But I was at this other supermarket, not my go-to market, and I bought some junk food. And I don't know if the universe was trying to tell me something, but I saw two of the fattest men that I've seen in a long time. Well, one of them was fat, but, and he was nice because I was asking him, I was trying to find out where this popcorn was, actually low-fat popcorn. So I was balancing out the sugar stuff with something low-fat, and he was trying to help me with that. But he was pretty girthy, And he won Girth of the Year. No, he was up for Girth of the Year. But then I saw this other guy, And you know what? I mean, no disrespect to people who have weight problems. I've got weight issues forever. I'm losing weight. My heart goes out to people. It's not. It's just. It's not easy. You know, and it's not easy to lose weight, and it seems to be really easy to gain weight. But this guy was just, oh my God, it was the kind of fat where you just wanted to, I don't know, take a picture and just, you know, and just say, I don't know, just post it on your refrigerator, and you know, so you would be reminded where you could go. I mean, I'm talking about beyond fat. It was just heartbreaking. It's not funny. I'm not trying to make fun of this guy. I'm not trying to be funny at this point. See, the thing about my podcast is it's got pathos, too. Sometimes there's funniness, but now I'm bringing you down into a very poignant moment. I felt bad, and then I just was thinking, oh, man, is the universe trying to tell me something? And I said, I don't care. I'm buying the junk food. That's the funny part right there. So I'm driving back home at that point, and I pass what's called the Bob's Big Boy restaurant. You know what that is, Bob's Big Boy. It's a old-fashioned coffee shop. And their logo is another kind of little short, chubby guy. And so I go past it. I'm kind of at a red light waiting. And they got this, somebody is in a costume, Bob's Big Boy costume, continuously waving at traffic. And this really pissed me off. I know that their purpose is for people to say, oh, look at that, let's go in there and eat there. But for me, it was the opposite. It had the opposite. For me, it was, you know, I'm thinking there's probably some, you know, Mexican guy who needs a job, you know, small Mexican guy who needs a job in that costume, that hot freaking costume, you know, being humiliated to wear that thing in the first place, but just to stand there. Just waving and waving it. Just, I don't know. It was just something very humiliating about it. And it just made me not want to ever go there. But I, you know, I haven't been there in years, but I was thinking that I do want to go there sometime to get some kind of ice cream soda or shake. But only if there's nobody waving. Yeah, I just thought, like, you know, it's just weird. I don't see, like, people are going to go, well, look at that. This Bob's Big Boy. Let's go in so we can see the guy who waves. Stupido. Stupido, Vido. I told you last week about my credit card fraud, and I'm dealing with that now. I don't know. The B of A has got some weird math. Right now, they've made a $700, or almost $700 error in their own, error in my favor, and I've let them know, but they don't seem to understand. So I'm only going to let them know once. If they want to give me a gift, fine. They're probably going to figure it out. But, you know, for, you know, they list the charge, then they deduct the charge, and they put the charge back, and they deduct. I just like this weird thing. Then they sent me a letter in the mail that I had to sign authorizing that this was a fraudulent charge. I don't know what more I can do. Just take the charge off. Just take charge of the charge. A couple more things here, folks. You know, I've been eating some tilapia. Fish I never knew. I never knew basically what this fish was until just a couple of years ago. And I was talking to one of the guys who works in the fish and meat department at my go-to market. And I don't know, he made kind of a tactical error in telling me, because I was telling him I never heard of tilapia, I don't know where they're from. And he starts telling me, oh yeah, they're from, I guess some come from China, some come from South America. And for some reason, he tells me that the food they eat bird droppings. That's right, folks. Fecal matter. And your fecal matters, they eat that. And, you know, I mean, it's been a hard image for me to get out of my head. I have to say quite frankly. Now, listen, I don't fool myself. I know these animals, these fish, they eat all kinds of things. You know? But, you know, I like to be in denial about this. I like to just think that, you know, the tilapia are dining on some kind of fine, krill. What was it called? The shrimp. They're eating smaller fish. They're eating some other things, but, you know, whatever. And so, and I was telling that to one of my friends. Because the fish guy was saying, well, you know, you might want to try trout because trout's good. What do trout live on? He said, the trout are farm raised and they give them vitamins. And it's like, I could just see a trout trying to open up a vitamin jar with his teeth. And then I was talking to another friend of mine. He goes, well, trout, they eat insects. You know, none of these, it's all the food chain stuff. Come on, get over it, Al. I mean, basically, you know, I think if you really might want to be moving into vegetarianism again. I could see it. I could see myself becoming a vegetarian. It just kind of hit me again. Like, hey, you know, maybe at some point in time, that's where I'll go. I'm not ready yet. I still like the taste of steak. I like the taste of so much. I do. I got a half a turkey sandwich in my refrigerator. I'm going to have it later. I'm not ashamed of that. But, well, maybe. And the last thing I want to talk about is that I mentioned last week about, I think it was last week. Not last week, but the week before, when I went to pay my bill and I spoke to this nice Filipino girl, but she wouldn't tell me where she told me she was in Utah, but she wouldn't tell me where she was originally from because she said she could get in trouble and she could be fired. And it was like, I said, come on, AT&T, grow up. Well, they could be listening. They may be listening because I got a phone call on both my home line and my cell phone. It was the computer generated, you know, kind of voicemail thing, letting me know that I can, you know, we know that you just recently paid your bill on the phone, but we want to let you know that you can now pay your bills online, you know, easily and comfortably by going to AT&T, And I was thinking, like, you know what? They might have had a meeting about me saying, how do we get this guy to stop asking our employees where they're from? I know. You know, we'll take the human equation out of it. We'll make them pay online. Well, it suggested very strongly. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. And I hope that you do too. Well, folks, I don't know. This is what was one of those podcasts where I feel like I just talked and talked and rambled, and I don't know what's funny, what's not funny. But I don't care. Because it's episode 65, and it's another notch in my podcast belt. So I want to, again, thank all those who listen. And I am in the process of trying to figure out how to convert my files so it will be more, my podcast will be accessible on PCs, Androids, and things of that nature. And so right in the process of doing that, that could be happening as soon as very soon. And so until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.